If you have your scriptures with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 21. If you're using a pew Bible that's near you, around you, beside you, in front of you, I believe it's page 977, if you'd like to follow along. As you're turning there, just wanted to thank everyone again for last night. A lot of people, many hands were involved in putting that together with the worship and sacrament committee planning it. RJ doing the videos, Gus putting pictures together, Kyle making videos with a drone, and the people doing the fellowship. Just many, many hands are involved. And thank you. Thank you all. And thank you just for serving the church. All of you who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It blesses many. So thank you for that. We're in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump right in. The title of the sermon is Pray for Strength, and I need that today. For some reason, I couldn't sleep much last night after the service, and my mind was on just on fire. So I'm like starting to crash already. So pray for strength to get through this, right? No, hopefully the Lord will help us engage this morning with His Word. Let me pray. Father, we do pray that Your Spirit would awaken us for a little bit of time. It is Sunday morning, and we had a beautiful night last night. And so at this time, it's an intersection with You. For this is Your Word. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And You have it for us to hear some great truths this morning of what You want us to pray for as Your people as we think about our prayer lives. You want us to think about these things, to seek these things as we are being transformed by Your grace in our life. So Lord, we pray that You would speak to us, speak to our hearts right where we are, and help us to grow in our faith. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen. The verses 14 through 21. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." As we've been going through Ephesians, Paul has been praying at different moments in chapters 1 and 2. It's a form of doxology and prayers that Paul keeps fluctuating between. And this morning we find ourselves at another point where he just has to pray. In verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." So immediately we ask the question, well, what's the reason? Why are you bowing your knees? Why are you following down in adoration? And he's actually finishing a thought. He began this prayer in verse 1. If you have chapter 3, verse 1, he began this thought. He says, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ on Jesus' behalf of you Gentiles." He began this thought of praying, and then he went off on a tangent that we talked about last week. He talked about the mystery of how it's possible that Jews and Gentiles are brought together, how we're brought near, that how Jesus fulfills everything that the Old Testament was looking forward to. And then he comes back to this thought and says in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." So what's the reason? And I believe it's all the soteriology. It's all the soteriology, right? You know that word. It's a word that us who go to seminary, we like to throw around. It's the doctrine of salvation. This is the reason why he's falling down on his knees. He's telling us about salvation and how God does it in our lives, and it's all of His grace. It's all those things that he's been talking about in chapters 1 and 2, how the triune God, because of their gracious work, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how we've been brought near to Christ. And he has to fall down in prayer. So what are some of the things that he's covered thus far in chapters 1 and 2? Just to remind you that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. That everything that God has to offer his people, it's been given to us in Christ. That before the foundation of the worlds, the Father chose us, predestined us in love, that we would be his. Before he made this world, he thought of you. He had you in mind, your face and your name. You who trust in Christ, because I love you, I want you, I will redeem you, and I will save you. And I will do it through my Son. I will send my Son to pay the ransom price, to be your Redeemer. And I will send the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and your mind so you embrace it with all of your heart, and you will be sealed for all eternity. That is, it's done forever in the work of God. It's all of grace. Chapter 2 talked about we were spiritually dead men walking, and God breathes life into us and transforms us, resurrects us, gives us a new location, that we're seated in the heavenlies. That in Jesus we have every spiritual blessing. It's like we're up there with Jesus already. We've been brought near all the walls that have separated us from God and each other. Jesus has brought us near. And Paul says, now I got to pray. I bow my knees in prayer. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth are named. From the beginning of this letter till now, Paul has been giving us amazing truths to know, to experience, to grow in, to live lives of transformation. Now Paul begins to pray again. He wants us to know these truths. He wants us to remember these truths. He wants us to be transformed by these truths. He wants us to grow in these truths, to be solidified in these truths, that we live lives through his transforming grace. And he prays on his knees. Jews typically didn't pray on their knees. They typically pray standing up. We see a few examples in Scripture where people pray on their knees. David did, and Jesus did when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. But here, Paul is just overwhelmed by this doctrine of salvation, of the work of the triune God, where he has to get on his knees and he prays for the church. He prays to the sovereign God from whom every family on heaven and earth is named. When you experience doctrine of salvation, when you've been transformed, when you've been resurrected in your soul, when you fall in love with Jesus, that he saves you, it leads to a prayer of desiring to know more and more. So our theme for this morning, if you've experienced the transforming grace of God, here's a few things that Paul prays about and that we should be praying about as we grow in our faith. And the first thing he mentions is that we need to pray to be strengthened with power so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Pray to be strengthened with power so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Let me show you the text. We'll begin at verse 14. He says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He prays that you would have power in your inner being. He doesn't pray that you would have power to crush somebody or to beat somebody up, but he prays for power, that Christ would be there in your inner being. As a believer in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us now. It's one of the truths of Scripture. And through the Scriptures, we learn that with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, it's almost synonymous with Christ dwelling within us. For the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Christ. Jesus said in John 16:14, he says, the Spirit will be in you, he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare to you. The role of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Christ. So Christ dwells within our hearts already. So what is Paul asking for when he prays? That we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts. Here's what some of the commentators say. They say the indwelling of Christ is a thing of degrees. So also is the inward strengthening of the Holy Spirit. When Paul asks his readers that they be strengthened, he's saying he wants them to be fortified, braced, invigorated, that they would know the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement, that they may lay hold even more firmly by faith this divine strength. I like how John Stott explains it. He says, Paul prays to the Father that Christ by his Spirit will be allowed to settle down in our hearts. that Christ would settle down in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds from his throne and control us and strengthen us. It's the idea that we would be empowered to have Christ rule and strengthen our thoughts, our beliefs, our actions, our motives, day by day and moment by moment. Just not here, but out there, every day, every moment, as you think, act, make decisions and choices, that Christ would be controlling those thoughts. That we would go to Christ. He's praying that we would go to Christ, rely on his power and control, so when times of fear creeps in, Christ would kick that out. That we would go to Christ and rely on his power when doubt creeps in, Christ would kick that out. That we would go to Christ, rely on his power, that he would dwell in our inner being, that when temptations creep in, Jesus would kick that out. That when we don't desire unity and love and we're just angry with one another, that Christ's power would be there and he would kick that out. As those things creep in and try to dwell in our hearts, Paul says, be strengthened with power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that in your hearts there's no vacancy, there's no room for the doubts, there's no room for the angriness, there's no room for the disunity, there's no room for the temptation, that Christ will be dwelling there, taking control of your thoughts and your actions. That Christ would rule and strengthen you moment by moment. In Galatians, Paul talks about it this way, walk by the Spirit so you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as you pray, as you think about it, pray to be strengthened with power, not so you could beat somebody up, but that Christ would dwell in your hearts, that he would take full control, that he would transform you in every detail of your life. So when there's things that ought not to be there creep in, Christ would kick them out. The second thing he prays for, he prays that we would be rooted and grounded in love. The second part of verse 17, Paul is praying that you being rooted and grounded in love. He's talking about roots. He's talking about foundations. Kent Hugh explains, he says, like trees, our lives are to send down roots deep enough and wide enough into the soil of love. And like buildings and edifices of our lives on earth are to have deep, solid foundations of love. For he says, if we're properly rooted and properly constructed on the foundation of love, nothing will shake us. Nothing will shake us. I don't know if you ever had the experience of trying to dig out a bush where it seems like the roots go 20 feet underground. It's an impossible thing to get out. Paul wants us to get deep roots into Christ. He says, pray that you would have deep roots in the love of Christ. And roots also soak in the nourishment from the ground. And as roots, we are supposed to soak in the nourishment of the love of Christ. Would be continually changed by his love. Earlier I said that we are to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And Dr. Barnhouse points out that love is intrinsic to all of those. When you think of all those fruits, tie in love behind those. Think these things with love. He says, love is the key. He says, when you have joy, that's love singing. When you have peace, that is love resting. When you have patience, that is love enduring. When you have kindness, that's love's touch. If you have goodness in your life, that's love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. And self-control is love holding the reins. Paul's praying that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And to pray that is to pray that we would hunger and thirst to know Christ's words. That you would pray to know his word. That you would hunger for it like you are, like I am. I'm hungry for lunch, right? You smell the food. You want it. Paul's saying, pray that you would hunger for that. You'd want to take this and read it. You know, we flip out our phones pretty easy to see what's going on. We desire to know what's going on. Pray that we would hunger to flip this out. To to know the love of Christ, to know the truth of Christ, so we would be rooted and grounded in love. Whether you know it or not, you are being rooted and grounded in something. You are. You're either being rooted and grounded in your thoughts and your imaginations of what life is and how it ought to be. You're being rooted and grounded by your peer friends, your influences around you, what you see on TV and the news, social media, your music groups. Whatever you're investing time in, that can affect what you believe. And Paul's saying, I pray that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. And to pray that is to know the truths of Christ. That way when the storms of life come, you will not be shaken. You will stand on solid ground. So as we're being transformed by His grace, put this on your prayer list. Pray to be strengthened with power so that Christ would dwell in your hearts and kick all those things that ought not to be there out of the way. Pray that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Put that on your prayer list. And the third thing he prays for, he says, pray for strength to comprehend the love of Christ for you. Pray for strength to comprehend the love of Christ for you. In verse 18, he says, I pray that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. It's weird language, this whole prayer thing, for me when I read it. You know, pray for power that Christ may dwell in there. Now pray for strength. Pray for strength to understand this unfathomable love. That's why, that's deep. He says, pray for strength to comprehend it with all the saints. And it's the idea that you would seize to lay hold of this love, that it would define you love, that it would be the foundation and bedrock, that you would, whenever you have doubts or frustrations and feel lonely and unloved, that you would know that you are loved beyond all means and measure. That you would have strength to soak it all in, that you would seize it, that this is mine. My Jesus loves me. And nothing will change that. No matter if I fall in sin, no matter if I still wrestle with the doubt, no matter how hard this trial I'm going through, His love is deep, wide, long, and deep, and surpasses all knowledge. Paul says, pray for strength to get that in you. Pray for strength to know that, to comprehend it. A lot of times we're depressed and lonely, and we just forget just how much He loves us. Kent Hugh writes in his commentary, he says, when he's talking about the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, he says, picture it like this. Christ has a love for you that's wide enough to embrace the world, Jew and Gentile. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He has a love that's long enough to last forever. And Charles Spurgeon said, it's so long that your old age can't wear it out. Your long tribulation can't exhaust His love. Your temptations shall not drain it dry. And like eternity itself, His love has no bounds. His love for you is high enough to take sinners to heaven, and His love for His people is deep enough to take the love of Christ to the lowest sinner. In A.W. Tozer's words, he says, because of God that He's self-existent, His love for you had no beginning. Because He's eternal, His love can have no end. Because He's infinite, His love has no limit. Because He is holy, it's the quintessence of all spotless purity. Because He is immense, His love is incomprehensibly vast, bottomless, and shoreless sea. Paul says, pray for strength to know this love. How long, how wide, how deep, how wide for you. When you find yourself in a funk and not sure what's going on, ask for strength to understand the love of Christ for you. Higher than the highest mountain, deeper than the deepest sea, longer than the longest canyon. Paul says, pray for strength to grasp that, to get that in you, that you are not alone in this. As you're raising children, whether you're single, whether you're walking through school and you feel the peer pressure of life and society, whether you're working or out of work or whatever, he says, don't forget the love of God that's beyond all measure given to you. He's bigger than anything you're facing. And we can pray to Him. We can pray to Him because He can do far more than we can think or imagine, our last point. He says, pray because you can go to God, you can do far more. He says, pray these things that he's been praying about, pray these things. Why? In verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Pray these things. Pray for power that Christ would dwell in you. Pray that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. Pray that you would have strength to comprehend his love, because he's able to do far more abundantly than we think or ask. Jesus says sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. So when you think there's no way, this text says there's a way. When you think you can't, this text says God can. He's able to do far more abundantly than we think or ask, and he will do it. He will bring glory to you and the church and to all generations forever. So if you think about your prayer life, add these things to it. Pray to be strengthened with power, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And when the doubts, the temptations, the frustrations and sin, say, Christ, be here. Control my thoughts. Control my actions. Help me. Take over and kick those things out. Pray for that. Pray to be rooted and grounded in his love. In his love. That all things in love. And that you would hunger and thirst for this word. As it's easy to flip out the phones, to flip on the TV, it would be easy and natural. Oh, I want to love. I want to study this. I want to know my Savior. I want to know his thoughts. I want to be so rooted because the storms of life are going to come and I don't want to be shaken. I want to walk with my Savior. And pray for strength to comprehend the love of Christ. It's long, it's deep, it's high, it's wide. It surpasses all knowledge. He says, pray for strength to get that in you. Pray that strength to receive it and be transformed by the grace of God. Pray to God, talk to God and all these things, but make this a priority. These are essential. Paul had to fall on his knees so that we would know these things. May you fall on your knees to be transformed by his grace as you walk this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth and your word. We pray you do transform our lives and our hearts and our minds. That you who give us everything by grace, give us power in our inner being, that Christ would take control. That we would be so rooted and grounded in love that nothing can shake us. Because we just know how deep, how wide, how long the love of God is in Christ Jesus. God, you're able to do this. You're able to do far more than we can think or imagine. Help us to believe that. Help us to believe that. Lord, we believe, we pray you would help our unbelief. Help us to live these lives through your transforming grace, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.